This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Remember, we played this at your tailgates every time Johnny Cueto would start in the
Absolutely.
Postseason.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Crank this up. I like this part. And this, of course, featured in one of my favorite movies of all time, the underrated and underappreciated Urban Cowboy, starring John Travolta and Deborah Winger as Bud and Sissy, Scott Glenn as the ex-convict turned mechanical bull star at Gillies, turned convict again as he tried to hold up Gillies until he got his ass whipped by John Travolta. Right?
Oh, yeah, always a...
You gotta love Urban Cowboy, right?
Of course. Here. Dial that up, watch that again soon.
My mom used to get all pissed off because remember when he hooked up with the rich girl? Why doesn't he just stay with her? Deborah Winger's so ugly. Like, Mom, settle down. What are you so mad for? She has such a nice apartment. Look, he could live there.
This was always on Spoon's playlist. You knew this was good for one.
Yeah.
If not a couple times at the tailgate.
What was the love song? Boss Gags, Love, Look What You Done to Me, when they get back to her condo. And she's living in the trailer with Scott Glenn.
We have a Wes Hightower reference as well.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yes.
Oh, now this, now we're talking. This is love making music right here. This is baby making music. You play Boss Gags like this, turn the lights down low, it's time to go.
I feel like we need to turn the hallway lights on.
Yeah. Everyone dead. Boss Gags is on, everyone. Just chill.
I can't even look at anyone right now.
Chill, right? This is what Travolta's got her in her apartment. They're dancing. She makes him a drink. You getting me to dance right now? This is so many feelings of uncertainty and curiosity in a young Stephen St. John as he watches Blue Ridge East, wondering what this itchy feeling is.
Blue Ridge East. That's your new nickname.
Yeah, why not? This is a good song. I was eight when this movie, or seven or eight when this movie came out. I'm going to have to watch this later on. Barry Corbin, also remember his uncle?
Sure.
Uncle Bob. Barry Corbin also played the general in War Games. That's a great line. I'd piss on a spark plug and thought it would help. Barry Corbin, underrated actor.
A song that I did not think I would maybe hear this morning.
You like it?
I had not heard it in quite some time, but yes. And this is old country here now.
Right.
Almost sounds like On the Wings of Love a little bit. It's kind of got that chorus.
Also, the actor James Gammon played Steve, who's Wes's friend and John Travolta's friend, and then went on to play manager Lou Brown in Major League. So
I'm on another line talking to another guy
That's exactly right.
Damn it, Maze.
Yes. I did a good Lou Brown.
Yeah, that is good.
See, I'd like for us to all sit down and watch Urban Cowboy. I don't know. I think the soundtrack holds up.
Right.
I don't know if anything else holds up, but I like it. I loved it.
We would laugh.
Yeah.
Too
movie night.
Old to go diving into some locker. Right.
That Wes Hightower was a son of a bitch, wasn't he?
He'd had it with everything.
I remember he drank the tequila and then ate the worm. This guy means business. Was this in your country days? Would you have Anyone in your family would enjoyed Urban Cowboy?
I don't remember. I don't remember anybody in my life. I never watched it. I never saw it.
It's a wonderful.
It did
movie.
Not make it to Ark City. Oh, I'm sure it was there.
I'm kidding. It was. Wow.
It was. It made it to Ark City.
The drive-in.
The Burford was the hotel. Was the movie theater in? Right.
There's no
Ark
doubt
City.
It played at the Burford.
The theater, the movie screen at the Burford was about the size of the window behind Steven. I think that was that was the big screen.
That was a big deal back then.
It was. I don't know, the movies I remember seeing. The first movie I ever remember seeing in Ark City at the Burford was Creepshow 2, which freaked me out and I couldn't sleep for a week. Scary movie.
Creepshow 2.
Creepshow 2. Crypt Keeper, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Very scary stuff for me as a fifth grader.
Now that's life size on that screen.
On a screen that big?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the baseball?
Absolutely. Ready for opening day, but actually season starts. I think the first game tomorrow night, Dodgers and Padres in Korea. Kind of seeing things ramp up for that.
Have you been to Korea?
I have not been to Korea.
In your baseball travels, where's every place you've been?
I've been to Japan. All over Europe. I mean, tons of different places in Europe, but never got a chance to do the Korea thing.
Would you go to Korea?
I would absolutely go to Korea.
Get on the phone, Jake. Let's get them going to Korea.
Yeah, they do still do some stuff with WBSC, the organization that I did a ton of work with, World Baseball Softball Confederation. Andrea, that was the guy I did stuff with for 10 years. He's done some stuff recently over there. The thing with what I was doing that's different now, and I obviously the pandemic affected a whole lot of things, but not only those trips, but baseball and softball are not in the Olympics anymore. So there's no funding comes down from the World Olympic Committee to countries that are trying to have sports in the Olympics. So that's where that dynamic has changed a little bit. I think they're trying to get it back in there in 2028 or something like that. And always the decision when baseball's in the Olympics is, do you have it be amateur players? Do you have it be major leaguers? That's always, have it guys, the best guys that aren't on 40-man rosters. That's always been a contention sometimes when baseball's in the Olympics. So
did they have it in the last Olympics?
They had it. It was an exhibition sport. It wasn't a technical. I mean, that's why I got to do all that stuff leading up to, whatever the last 2000.
Well, they moved it to 21. They were supposed to be in 2020, and then they moved it to 21.
It was an exhibition, Jake.
It was only in there as an exhibition sport. And so having been in Japan with a couple different kinds, because it was in Japan. The Olympics was, and so that's why we got to do as much work as we did globally to raise awareness. But baseball's such a global sport now; it amazes me that it's not in the Olympics.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Especially with something, and I don't like to bash on other sports, but
go ahead.
How many people are playing baseball versus playing some of these other sports that are in the Olympics? That's my only contention. I mean, baseball's now played all over the world, more so than
they have like wall climbing in the Olympics,
right?
Archery, now, like how many people are doing archery?
No, archery is legit.
Well, I mean,
you got shut down on that one, Nate.
How about
I know so many people that do archery. It's true.
I do archery. Boddicker does archery.
How many people are synchronized divers?
I mean, you're talking to a whole group of people that hunt with their bows and arrows. I mean,
so that makes sense to me. It's like golf. Golf being in the Olympics, globally, more people play golf than play baseball. I promise you that, just because of the sport transcends age groups.
Do you think more people do archery globally than baseball, Jake?
No, but wall climbing is what I brought up.
Well, there's a lot of people that do wall climbing.
You think more people shoot bows?
I have no idea. I have zero idea how many people climb walls versus shooting bows at targets.
And so that's my contention, is not just... not just Major League Baseball and professional baseball. There is across the globe. We've got, and our goal has always been, is to take it to the younger age groups, whether that's in a smaller, more underdeveloped countries across Europe. You'd be surprised how much baseball. I mean, there's a professional league in Germany. There's a professional league in Italy. Obviously, there is in Korea. Obviously, there is in Japan. And then
what's the
trying to get the youth.
21.6 million people shoot archery. In this country.
Okay. This country.
Yeah.
That's a lot in this country.
What's the excuse for no baseball?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why it ever got taken out. That's what was the shock for me. I
had a Mark McGuire rookie card that it was an Olympic team 100%. Card.
84 tops extended set.
It's interesting the way different sports spread globally, you know, because there's certain parts of the world where baseball is
non-existent.
And then there's other parts of the world where it's like the most important thing in the world.
Right.
You know, you go to the Caribbean and Central America, it's as big as anything. Going to that World Baseball Classic last year down in Miami was unbelievable.
So much fun.
The passion that all the Venezuelan fans had for it. I mean, they were absolutely going bonkers for their team.
Have you ever gotten to go to a baseball game in Japan? You've seen it on TV.
Right.
It is chaos. The whole game.
I would
every
love
game.
To.
Oh, man.
It's so much fun. I've been to the Tokyo Dome twice.
I would love to.
I would see the Hiroshima car. It is so much fun.
I almost had my dad convinced to take me to Japan when I was a kid. This
I would love to go with your father.
Oh yeah,
to
but
Japan.
It was a different deal, right? And so this wouldn't have been. And so you know we were really good friends with a professional wrestler named Kevin Wachholz, who wrestled here under the name Mr. Magnificent Kevin Kelly, and then the WWF he wrestled under the name Nails, who was an escaped convict, shockingly my dad's favorite wrestler. And so he lived here in Kansas City while he wrestled Central States, you know, wrestling with Bulldog Bob Brown and River Star Jones and everyone. And so and I had a chance to travel with him around, like he'd take me with him to St. Joe or Wichita or Topeka. And I got to see, I mean, I got to meet back then Ric Flair, Harley Race, Shawn Michaels before he was a star. It was awesome, right? No, he would not let me meet Bruiser Brody because Bruiser Brody did not like to meet people. But I loved him. But anyway, Kevin went on a couple tours of Japan, and he came home from one of them and said, "You guys don't understand. They treat us like kings. When you go to the wrestling matches, it's like this." And, you know, back then that was my thing. I was like 11 or 12 years old. It was unbelievable, the atmosphere, kind of like the way you talk about baseball, right?
They're revered.
It's a different deal. And I'd watch videos of it, and it was unbelievable. So the food's fantastic, all this stuff. And so we damn near had my dad talked into going with him and taking us to just like, I don't know, I've never been anywhere overseas, right? But going to Japan. But something happened. I don't know what. It didn't happen, but ever since I've wanted to go, and then I see like the atmosphere of a baseball game, I'm like, that would be so much fun, and because I'm not a guy that really wants to travel the world, but I would love to go to Japan, and I would love to go to sporting events and enjoy the food and just be. That's like a bucket list for me that'll probably never happen, okay? Because I'm ridiculous because I don't want to go through all the planning, but I would love to.
One of my best friends that I grew up with at Bishop Ward High School in KCK. Named Ben Bartley, ended up going to Japan to work for one of the baseball teams over there in their business department because they were trying to upgrade some of the stadiums over there and they mm-hmm. wanted some American influence on the different baseball stadiums that were built here. Ben had also been Wilbur the Wildcat for the mascot for the University of Arizona.
They love their mascot over there.
And so he's like, so they needed a mascot. Jeez. And he said, I'll be the mascot because they travel their mascots.
Absolutely.
And so he was like, I'll get to tour and see every stadium in the Japanese league. And so he did that for an entire season. And they also ended up using him as a translator a little bit because there were some American players that had to be interviewed. They come up, you hit a home run. He told me, like, you hit a home run in the middle of the game, seventh inning. And somebody runs out to home plate and interviews you right there about the home run you just hit. So he'd have to be out there in his mascot outfit translating sometimes. And he did say that so they also have cheerleaders for all the games, like for the Yakult Swallows.
Oh, yeah.
The cheerleaders are called the Swallow Girls.
Right.
That was the name of the that was the name of the cheerleaders. Oh. But anyways, he had some great stories about how fun it was. He just thought it was like the atmosphere there. Everybody's just having a party.
Well, you talk to anybody here. I mean, Hudler played over there for a little bit at some point in his career. You talked to
he gave me his jacket.
Man, it's something else. Shane Dennis, it does 92.3. He was part of the Hideki Arabu trade with the Padres and Yankees, and he ended up playing over there for 2 years. And he'll tell you some stories too. And the atmosphere and their passion for the game and. I was fortunate to go over there with the Wounded Warrior amputee softball team, too, just on a completely different level. not playing baseball, but playing with those guys. And when people find out, I was with Rick Sutcliffe's brother, Bobby Sutcliffe, and when you find out, when they find out you have any ties to Major League Baseball, it's a whole different ball game, you know. And to get to go to games and go out on the field and just see the passion that they have. And I got great videos from all of our entire, you know, Wounded Warrior team out in center field. The whole game, the music's going, the stands going crazy. It's fun.
It looks like, I mean, it's like you're at like a concert.
It is, yeah.
But the one thing I want to get back to, Nate, why do you hate archery and anyone that uses a bow and arrow? What is that?
Well,
where does that come from? I'd like to dig into reasons.
Is it really a sport? It's like the arrow's doing all the work.
There it is. You ever pulled the bow back?
Have you ever pulled the bow back? Have you ever pulled the bow back?
I know, it takes some incredible strength.
But have you ever pulled the bow back?
Yes, I have.
I'd like to...
He said he has.
Yeah, it's probably like a 25-pound bow.
Now he shut you down.
Compound bow. Have you ever bow fished?
No, but I'd love to. Yes. That looks awesome.
Oh yeah.
I would like to do that very much.
I will be attempting that this summer to
really
rid a couple ponds of some grass carp.
That's awesome.
So we decided that that might be our best bet to go about it.
You
to bow fish
right now.
Get some video.
Speaking Steve St. John Sr.'s language. This man loves fishing,
oh,
but likes to fish any way he can without a rod.
That's
all
the way
other,
to do it.
What is it, the noodling?
Trot lining.
Noodling with your hands.
No.
Is that an Olympic sport? That ought to be an Olympic sport, right?
I watch that.
Now you got me.
So that would be awesome.
Trot line,
right?
Catch a fish with your bare
trot
hands.
Line. So when he had a cabin.
Jug line, trot line.
In Ottawa.
Sure.
And we
right
had him
on the Meritazine River.
Up and down the river.
I was there last night.
And he'd make me go check him with him.
Oh, yeah.
And shoot squirrels and do that. Just, you know.
We could skin a buck.
That's what I'm talking. See, Steve said
trot line.
That's what he liked to do.
Pronounce that river again for me.
The Meritazine.
Yeah.
I was there last night. We were
That's
doing
exactly
wedding
right.
planning down at the rivers.
It doesn't look like
Meritazine.
Yeah, when
no,
you read
I
it.
Was read. I was trying to spell it and say it last night on our way there.
The reason I learned how to say it was my first job in radio was in Ottawa, Kansas,
right,
at KOFO radio, and you'd have to read all the local areas and something on and I'm like the Maria.
My dad had a cabin. later
Meritazine.
I found out / hideout, where I'm not going to go into it. It was for more than just hunting and fishing.
Meritazine.
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 Yeah,
I spent some good times there though, man. He'd let me and
I didn't
some
know,
of my friends go over there.
Know your
weekend.
Dad was such a big fisherman.
Oh,
no
man.
Pole though.
Goodness. He'll use a pole.
I just,
he likes you know.
Oh, I just did some big bass fishing and some fishing down in Florida.
So where are you
going to
shoot carp with the bow?
I'm not at liberty to answer that.
Okay.
But, it's been discussed. Now the question is, what do we do with them once we get them out?
The carp?
Yeah.
Turn them into dog food.
Okay. There you go. I knew you would have an idea of what to do.
Ladies
with
and
them.
Gentlemen, Jake Gutierrez.
Bone broth, carp bone broth.
No.
Dog food.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not little. They're like torpedoes.
Can we bring my dad to this so he at least he can watch it?
I think so.
I don't know that. We need him with the bow and arrow, but
I mean he can be the director.
He liked
if you will,
spotter. Just to observe
spotter.
That's fine. A spotter.
Yeah, perfect.
There's a user for that. Just that's all.
Yeah.
I really have nothing against archery. I don't really care if it's an Olympic sport or not.
I don't know that that's true.
That was
the venom that's coming out of your mouth.
It didn't seem to me like a sport that it's mainstream. You know, but
it's way. I mean, there's a lot of people.
If there's 26 million people doing it, I stand
I would
corrected.
Like to be able to do it. I just don't think I'd be very good at it.
No, it's just like anything else.
I'm not steady enough.
I sucked when I started. Now I'm a good shot from 25 in.
I know growing up and going to my grandparents' farm in Nebraska, that's what instead of us shooting guns. And
why don't
you
take
me?
Always had hay bales set
we'll
up.
Go over and, to Boddicker's got a. We shoot from his deck, and he's got a
target. Remember Dan Riker? We had a deer in the backyard at my house.
Yeah.
Riker actually had it in the basement. So that was a good place to shoot a bow and arrows in the basement. Because it doesn't go through drywall at all.
My dad was going to buy me one, and my mom shut it down.
I hit the Boddicker's fence and split my
arrow. Like, she was right, because at the time, she said, Steve, he'll just hurt himself. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right, babe. You know, they thought about it for a minute, took a longer look at me like,
crossbow?
Nah.
I mean.
Have you shot a crossbow?
Sherm told me. Sherm shoots crossbow.
Oh, I bet. Yeah,
I have a compound bow.
I can't wait till we tell Sherm what Nate thinks about.
Yeah,
wait, just wait.
I mean, this is
Sherm.
I
will shoot you.
Trust me, I'm afraid he'll wound you.
He won't kill you. Just in the leg, below the knee.
Sherman gets so pissed off.
I love listening.
Get rid of archery out of the Olympics.
Exactly. I don't give a damn if it's in the Olympics or not.
I do.
My point is that I feel like more people play baseball than do archery.
I just want baseball back in the Olympics. You're incorrect. I don't want anything else to go out of the Olympics.
There are more people that shoot bows in this country than that play baseball.
Okay, you did a quick Google. How many people? Only 15.6 wow. million people do baseball. And you said 26 million people shoot bows.
21.6.
Fair.
I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, think about how many people, because the hunting tag for a bow is way longer.
Well, the Google search here says 4.7 million.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm looking right here. 21.6 million Americans archery. 45% shoot targets, while only 24% identify themselves as strictly bow hunters.
The best
the
part
other
of my
31%
job.
Said bow mediator, hunters and shoot targets
just,
both.
Just I'm surprised sometimes what they get into a pissing match about. Like, I didn't know today it would be
Olympic
archery
versus
baseball in this country.
Go to InsideArchery.com.
I see that, but I'm also seeing this one. It says in 2022, bow hunting in the United States peaked approximately 4.7 million.
Bow hunting. That's just people that hunt. There's people that just shoot targets.
Right. Yeah.
You're telling me there's another 15 million people in this country that just go out and shoot targets with their bow?
I just shoot targets.
Well, there's
with
one
my
right
bow.
There. There's two.
You guys don't do bow hunting?
I do not. I've never shot anything with my bow.
Sherm does bow hunting.
Both. They do both.
I'm just saying,
right.
In our tight little circle,
you're looking at the number of people who just hunt, and then there's people that just shoot targets. And
I feel like bow hunting should be an Olympic sport because then you got a moving target.
Right. What I'm saying is there's three categories. There's
people that bow hunt.
There's people who just shoot targets, and then there's people like Sherman.
Okay, I've done it like twice in my life. Do I count as one of the 21.6 million?
I got a friend.
Most recent survey, you have not.
I think one of Cooch's kids does archery.
Okay.
Cooch, text me.
21.6 million.
I see it here. InsideArchery.com. Who am I to dispute the numbers? Do I count as one of that 26?
Probably not.
Will you?
Go shoot one.
Okay, who's better, you or Boddicker?
I'm sure Boddicker.
Not
me. I haven't done it. Boddicker? I haven't done it.
The steady hand of Mike Boddicker to shoot an apple on your head? For the show.
No. Absolutely
streamed
not.
Streamed live on 810
no,
WBI.
No,
he
no.
He wouldn't let him stand point blank with a pistol.
Mike, Monica, if you're out there, would you shoot an arrow through an apple on Nate's head? I could turn this into the biggest charity event the city's ever
put me
seen.
On a spinning wheel.
Is this William Tell?
Bodger's got a guy.
Put him on a spinning wheel like in, remember the movie Bronco Billy with Clint Eastwood?
Is that William Tell that shot the?
Yeah.
All right.
I will respectfully decline.
That would.
I think Jake's right. Baseball has no place in the Olympics.
We got a lot of people right now.
That's exactly what he said.
I said wall climbing.
What I'm telling you is,
you did say wall climbing.
There's a lot of people right now.
You said archery.
There's a lot of people. Mike Boddicker to shoot an apple off your head.
There's a lot of synchronized divers mad at me.
Get rid of that too. I'm fine with that.
And how this all happened was, for people just tuning in, Bluma is upset that baseball won't be in the Olympics.
And he said there's a lot of ridiculous sports.
Right, and you said rock climbing, and then Nate goes, well, archery, and then Jake pushed back against that, and then we argued about this in the last 12 minutes.
Here we are.
And we end up now
we know
with Nate wanting to raise money, we'll put an apple on his head, and Mike Boddicker will shoot an arrow through.
Sal wants to know if Jake wears tights like Robin Hood when he shoots his bow.
I hope so.
I can. I have.
Do you have to wear tights when you do archery?
Oh, yeah.
We're men.
Who has men in tights?
Who hasn't dressed up like that? I saw a lot of that on Sunday.
We got break.
Oh, my God.
You know what? We really don't have to break. I mean,
this has been a hell of a baseball
segment. We can just keep pushing through. We'll take a break, though. We'll do what
Jake
says.
Do other people in the world do bow hunting? Not tell me how many people in the world, Jake, because the whole point is baseball is a global sport.
He's trying to.
This guy's moving the target.
Well, it's the Olympics. It's not. It's a global sport. It's not an American.
But come on. The conversation was like, there's more people that play baseball than shoot archery.
I feel like there's a lot of. I mean, I don't know.
I'm stunned by the fact that there are more people shooting bows in this country than playing baseball.
Well,
I grew up with
tons of kids. Welcome to America, Nate.
Well, like, look at me. I'm more like, I don't do either one of them, but I'm more likely to shoot an arrow than go out
and
play
baseball. What did you do as a kid? Did you play youth baseball?
Sure, I did.
Did you go around shooting bows at things?
Every kid in college.
I wanted to, but they wouldn't let me because I was not responsible enough.
I didn't know a single kid until I moved to Ark City that shot a bow.
Ark City.
I shot in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. We shot bows and arrows. Yep. At Camp Nash.
And tied knots.
Oh, you know what? I had like a kid's bow and arrow. Does that count?
Knots over here.
I wasn't.
A little suction cup on it. You shot it.
I wasn't allowed to do anything that would put me in a position where I could hurt other people. Because I was not, you know.
Captain tied knots over here.
We had the old wrist rocket, too, to shoot, you know, the
I had the old wrist rocket. Yeah, that's a whole different deal, but.
That's a sport.
On that note, we'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. You going to this concert? Did you get your tickets?
I have my tickets, yep. We talked about that last week. If they go so expensive, I might sell them, but I have them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He won the lottery.
Yep.
There you go, Jake.
2 days. 2 days. August 1st and 2nd?
I don't have tickets.
Yeah, August 1st and 2nd. I got tickets for the second night. So we'll see. TBD.
I'd enjoy it.
TBD.
We'll see. I got my 311 tickets.
Who else am I going to? Oh, I'm going to see Kane Brown at T-Mobile Center. April something.
Morgan Wallen's coming with Lainey Wilson.
Tyler Hubbard.
You know, from Yellowstone, right?
I just go see Lainey Wilson.
Lainey Wilson. Yes.
We saw her at P&L.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, she's good.
And that crowd was wild. So
wild.
All right.
TikTok.
We know the opening day starter.
We do.
Cole Reagans. It's got to be him, right? I know there's some other pitchers that are more accomplished for their careers, but this is the guy that the Royals need to be their ace, so why not give him that opportunity now?
You know, capitalize on the momentum he had last year with the way he finished the season and, you know, came out and threw okay this spring. I mean, he got knocked around a little bit his last time out. But, I mean, this is one of those things where he's working on stuff, getting ready for next Thursday. So, Waka could have been a choice, too, I think more so than anybody else. Who was the other? Lugo. I think it was down to Waka and Reagan's all along. And then, you know, Reagan's just electric stuff. And we talk about it all the time. It'll be something that everybody opening day's talking about. And they're probably the best left-handed stuff in Major League Baseball right now. Throw him out there opening day for sure. I'm curious as to who's going to make this team bullpen-wise. I mean, did you see the article the other day? And one of the things I wanted to talk about today is I love that they have split them up into teams, and they're having a strike-throwing competition this spring. Did you see this article on MLB Network the other day about this on MLB.com? That might have been Amy Rogers, to be honest with you, if she wrote it and she talked about it. But that was I know that's been a point of emphasis. I know Boddicker and I and McFarland, we all talk about it ad nauseum about throwing strikes, but it's so nice that that's with the strike throwers that they signed in Waka and Lugo and Schreiber that they traded for. That's been a huge point of emphasis. Now, those guys might not be the 95 to 100 mile an hour plus things, but these guys are guys that throw strikes. So you can read the article a little bit about it, how they'd had a little bit of a draft, and they're having this competition, and it all centers around first pitch strikes. And I've been on this show long enough talking about teaching kids, and that's one of the riddles I have for the kids. What's the best pitch in baseball? And for any of the kids that I have listening right now, Boddicker will tell you the same thing. It's strike one.
Strike one,
yep,
baby.
Strike one. First pitch strike. And I don't even care what it is. It can be a fastball. It is a lot of times. But you can drop a breaking ball in there, first pitch. Doesn't matter. First pitch strike. So I've enjoyed seeing that as a point of emphasis in spring training so far. I know spring training numbers aren't the end-all, be-all for anything, but guys that are battling to make an opening day roster, this is all you can do is come in the spring and throw well. And then if you do, you get an opportunity. And we've had a lot of – and we got a lot of – I mean, how many pitchers do you think have thrown an inning for us in spring training? I couldn't believe this when I was looking this morning. I mean, guess the number of how many people have appeared as a pitcher in a Royals game in spring training. I mean, we're 2.5 weeks in. We got a week and a half to go. How many different pitchers have thrown at least one appearance?
20.
41.
41.
So we've had 41. Now, obviously not 41 guys have an opportunity to make this team. Some of these are prospects, but we want to see at some point. Some of these are, you know, guys that are going to be an A-ball and they're on the roster already. But, I mean, that seems like an inordinate amount. And there's a lot of guys that have thrown, you know, at least 4 or 5 outings. I mean, Schreiber, Walter Pennington, who I hadn't heard of coming into spring training, stone 4 2/3, struck out 10. John McMillan's a guy. I mean, Will Klein, Will Smith, obviously. We know some of the guys that are going to make this team, but with Matt Sauer, who's a Rule 5 guy, with Daniel Lynch, is going to be a swing guy or a starter, Will Smith. I mean, there's so many different guys that are going to get an opportunity this year. Yeah, they'll probably break with 12, but I assume that we'll probably see at least 25 pitchers at some point during this, you know, during this season.
Did you guys see the story about the Royals' first-round pick in the 2022 draft? Gavin Cross, they took number 9 overall, outfielder out of Virginia Tech, and he just kind of
Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Yeah, what the?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I didn't even know that was a.
Still a thing?
Right. Apparently measles is too.
As he was beginning his double-A stint, he fell ill with a 103-degree temperature and mental and physical fatigue. After 3 separate trips to the emergency room, doctors finally diagnosed Cross with a serious tick-borne illness called Rocky Mountain spotted fever. He was treated with antibiotics, but the disease left him wiped out and ended up wrecking the rest of his season. While sick, he wasn't able to run or throw, and he didn't swing a bat for almost 2 months. And he said it was tough to come back from. His body was worn out because of the first half of the season, and then the illness hit him. And he said, I never had any anxiety, but after that, the smallest thing would be hurting, and it's the end of the world. It was definitely weird trying to come back from it.
Are you surprised you didn't hear about any of this until spring training
this year?
Yeah,
they kept that under wraps.
I mean, he was our first-round pick, and I remember we talked about it halfway through last year. Like, man,
what the hell happened with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the lefty out of Texas A&M who's disappeared again and has been offered and traded this, and now Gavin Cross has not. I did not hear any rumors about this.
I am shocked that Jake hasn't commented on this in some Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
It's from the tick, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
It's whack. I mean, that's scary stuff.
That it's still out.
Yeah, I remember it, like, living down in Arc City when I was a kid in the 80s. That was a thing. But Lyme disease was a big one, too, right? Like, you were worried about if you got ticks, you had to.
Also herpes, right?
Well, that's not just in Arc City.
I don't know.
I don't think you get those from ticks.
Right.
Something that rhymes with ticks, maybe.
Yeah.
West Nile, was that a tick thing, too, maybe?
That was mosquito.
Mosquito. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Same difference.
But, I mean, Rocky Mountain spot. Well, that, it's terrible that he got it, but that explains, you know, what happened to his season, right? No, it's not the case.
Right. Yeah, well, so that's what I was halfway through last year. I'm like, man. I know he's got a pretty good approach at the plate and all that. He maybe did a good job of walking, but then I'm like, man, he's hitting 203? What's happened to Gavin Cross? Because I watched him play in college, and he was a legit D1 guy. And then I remember I was hoping that we might take the catcher last year out of Virginia. And so Teal, he just got put up on. He made the – so they had the thing this weekend where all the prospects played out each other. Breakout. I don't know if you saw
that.
This.
Breakout game,
that was
yeah.
pretty cool, man. And all those games are – streamed live, and you could kind of watch any of the, you know, anybody that's on a team's 30-man prospect list got an opportunity to just play against each other. So that was kind of cool to watch. So I remember seeing some guys that maybe I was hoping we would draft. Obviously, we took a high school catcher out of Texas, but just to see all the different options. Well, good luck to Gavin Cross.
Man. Right.
That's as good as excuse as any.
Yeah. We will be right back into this on WHP. So what's going on with lessons and camps and all the good stuff?
Yeah, we just finished up a little spring break camp last week out at Blue Valley Rec. We do have some June ones coming in, so bluevalleyrec.org. You can check out some of the summer camps in June and then August. Just lessons right now. High school baseball got started at the end of last week. I actually saw a bunch of Blue Valley West back-to-back state champions. I saw a bunch of Blue Valley West parents up at Tanner's this weekend. And everybody's getting rolling. College baseball in full swing. I've been catching up with a ton of that stuff. I mean, high school baseball rolling as of this weekend. And I was telling you when we got in here, I saw a great article about Riley Pint and the Colorado Rockies. He's having a really good spring. Hopefully he gets a chance to make that team. Ryan Stanek signed early last week with the Seattle Mariners. They had a couple guys get hurt, including former Royal
Jackson Kowar. Tommy John surgery.
And Brash, yep.
What's your reaction to this blockbuster signing? Finally, Blake Snell, the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, signs a two-year, did you see this? $62 million deal with the Giants of San Francisco. What's your reaction to that deal?
You know what? They seem to always try to stay a little bit relevant. I mean, they kind of fly under the radar, but they won three World Series in the last however many years.
Two years, so $62 million.
That's the going rate.
Seems like one of the places that everybody pitches well when they go there, too.
It seems like it, yeah. I mean, they seem to do a pretty good job on that. Now where's Jordan Montgomery going to go? He's kind of the last domino out there. That's the big, big, big name. Free agent, obviously won a World Series last year with the Rangers when he came over. You just wonder if he's going to be ready to go. You hope Snell's been throwing enough. I mean, it's days, 9 days?
Nine days. The Giants also added a new center fielder and leadoff hitter, Korea's Jung Ho Lee, 6 years, $113 million. They have a new middle-of-the-order bat, a gentleman you may remember by the name of Jorge Soler, 3 years, $42 million. They traded for former Cy Young Award winner Robbie Ray, but he won't return until the second half as he recovers from Tommy John surgery. And they signed former closer Jordan Hicks, and they're converting him to a starting pitcher.
Jordan Hicks throws fuel. I remember when he was coming up with the Cardinals, 101-mile-an-hour sinkers. Like, that's not fair. Yeah, they're going to be good. Giants are going to be good. I mean, that in that division, good luck with the Dodgers, Giants.
That's pretty good, though, man. You bring in the reigning Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, they went out and spent some money. So did the Dodgers. So did we, to be honest with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, what if they need lessons from you, if anyone out there needs a...
Bundy Jr. 19 at AOL.com. Find me on Twitter. I've had people call the station. Jake would love to send my digits along. I won't go as far as to send my cell phone number, but it's not that hard to find.
Just go to the bathroom wall at Tanner's and...
Whoa, hello.
What?
Homefieldkc.com.
Which bathroom?
119th.
Both. You've got herpes.
Cross.
Why?
Why?
Man. Why is that?
Man.
What context is that?
Wow.
Like, I don't even...
Rock climber.
My kid was in the car, and you got this guy. When we come back, Mark Boerichter versus Hollywood Brown, Kansas City's newest rivalry on Sports Radio 810 WHB.